Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yep, we thought we'd have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't. No. And here we are, though, in our 30s, in a pandemic, a year later, it's been over a year now since we've been in this global pandemic, and we're still just trying to figure it out, you know?
I know. Candace, how are you doing through all this?
That'll take up the whole episode today. But today, I'm actually doing pretty good. You know, for me, now reflecting a year later back on where we were in March of 2020, it's interesting. I had this conversation with my husband, Joe, and I actually was not in a super great place at the start of 2020. My priorities were out of whack. I had just started seeing a therapist because I had realized that I just was unhappy about certain things that I felt were out of my control and navigating things within my own control. And then the pandemic happened. And so we immediately we'd only met once and then immediately just went to phone calls for our therapy. And I was really grateful that I had met her right before the shutdown because I continued to work with her because I would find out that I was pregnant. And that was stressful with the pandemic and learning how to remind myself, honestly, to take consideration that it's not just my experience going through a pandemic. It was taking into consideration what my husband was feeling, what my five-year-old was feeling, what my stepdaughters were feeling as teenagers. You know, I think I've mentioned it a few times on this podcast that before my husband and I moved in together and really, truly, finally brought all of our family under one roof 4 years ago, I had always lived by myself. So not only, you know, our running joke is we got married, we had a baby, and then we finally moved in together with our blended family when we moved to LA. And so just realizing how much of those that, like, those habits of my own, just like really just kind of considering what I needed and what I was going through, and having to reframe that as like, oh no, this is like a whole family and I have to consider everyone else's experience, and how I just wasn't in that place a year ago. And here I am a year later, and I feel way more in tune with my family, within my marriage, you know, as a mother, as a creative, I feel way more in tune. You know, we've talked, you know, Melissa, you're on as well, just listening, but the three of us have talked about how happy, like how proud we are of these episodes that we've created within, you know, the parameters of doing this on Zoom, but we're actually like really inspired more, even more now by, you know, what we've created in this past year. So I'm surprised a little over a year later to say that I'm like really proud to reflect back on the growth, on my own personal growth. So that's where I am today. Yeah. Kayla, where are you at today? How are you today?
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. The question, how are you today and how are you, are so different, because it has been a full year. And even as you're speaking about your experience, I'm realizing what a roller coaster mine has been. Poppy was 6 months when this pandemic hit. She's now a year and 6 months, a little over that. And for me, I think the struggle has been realizing how much of my, quite honestly, I felt depressed through the beginning of the pandemic. I'm sure most of you listening relate to this and feel exactly the same. How much of that depression stemmed from being a first-time mom? How much of that depression stemmed from being in a pandemic and not knowing which was which and trying to figure it out? And now that there's hope and we see light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines, I'm realizing most of it was from the pandemic. But the fear of not knowing how much did stem from like becoming a new mom and not knowing who I was within that role. So I do feel like in our family, and then to add on top of that, we moved into a new house. So there was a lot of big changes right as everything hit. And so now that the dust has settled, I feel like we are finally in a groove, but figuring out who we are as a family and who we are as individuals within all that has been quite the roller coaster ride. And I can say today, even this morning, we just woke up and both Tanner and I said, oh, how grateful we are just to be in our home, to be with our family, and realizing that it really is just about the little things. It's about the simple things, the sun on our face, being able to walk outside and do whatever it is we want to do and feel, yeah, it's just about appreciating the little things when, you know, the busyness of life before all this was the priority. It felt like that took over who we were.
Yeah. How many episodes did we have talking about just how obsessed we were with this idea of being busy,
right?
You know, and how ridiculous that sounds now. And I mean, yeah, looking back, it's where I was at a year ago was my entire self-worth was wrapped up in things that really don't matter to me. Like they matter to a certain extent, but it's not the forefront of my life. You know, my identity is not my work, and my identity is not what other people think about me. And when I say other people, I mean people who are not on like my short, are not on my pod, you know, my pandemic pod list. You
right.
know what I mean? Like I was wasting so much time on things now that are kind of laughable to me that's what I was spending all my time worrying about. And I was missing so many wonderful things that were right there in front of me. And that's what I'm excited for in seeing the light. You know, we are a year later, we do have vaccines, you know, are being distributed at a higher rate. You know, we're getting there. And so I think that the excitement is for me personally is this kind of personal growth that I'm excited to apply to what life is going to become and what it's going to look like. But I remember, you know, you and I have talked so many times in where you were saying as a new mom during this experience, during the pandemic, just saying, is this me? Like, why is this so hard? Other people have done this. Other people have reared children. You all have kids. Like, why is this feeling so hard? And how many times I say, yeah, but I didn't have a 1.5-year-old or a 1-year-old during a pandemic. Like you were isolated. Like it was a completely different experience, you know? And it's going to be interesting in the future, looking back, you know, in the event of having more kids, if you're going to look back and be like, wow, and find and like see that difference of what it was like to be a first time mom during a pandemic versus a first time mom who's more concerned about like mommy and me dance class, you know, and like who's bringing coffee to the library, because that's what it, you know, that's what it kind of more often is like when you're a first time mom. It's more about like, don't eat the sand on the playground, as opposed to like, I can't leave my house because there's a deadly virus globally, you know, that no one has control over. Wow. Just saying it out loud is still just feels like we're, you know, in a sci-fi movie.
I mean, we are essentially living in a sci-fi movie still. We're a year in, and that's why I'm so excited to sit down with our guest today, Vanessa Gorelkin, to discuss coping with the pandemic a year into quarantine. Vanessa is an occupational therapist with specialty certifications in lymphedema and mindfulness-based stress reduction. She received her master's degree from New York University and is committed to applying her over 25 years of medical experience to assist with healing and helping individuals embrace their full life and manage their wellness throughout this unprecedented pandemic. I cannot think of anyone else better well-equipped to talk about this. So without further ado, here's our interview with Vanessa Gorelkin.
Guys, we're here. We're doing it.
Are we here? Are we here?
Are we? Where are we?
Vanessa Gorelkin, we are so excited to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm great today. I love to talk with new people and spread the message of surviving the pandemic and maybe a little thriving in there. So I'm really delighted to talk to you guys today. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy that you're here and happy to jump right in. I mean, the truth is when we ask everyone how they're doing, usually the typical answer is good, great, fine. But what we're here to discuss is that really the case? Because we have now come up with this term pandemic fine. And Candace has a really great definition for it. Candace, can you share?
Yeah. I was talking with a friend over the weekend and I asked her, as we all do when we're catching up on the phone or FaceTime, like, how are you? Or via text. And she said, I'm pandemic fine. And I was like, what is... I need to know what this definition is, because this feels like I need to be saying this from now on. And she said that the definition of pandemic fine, which is a real term being used right now, is a state of being in which you are employed and healthy during a pandemic, but you're also tired and depressed and feel like trash all the time. So it's for when you find yourself in a position where you're like, okay, I am okay. Like my health is fine. You know, thank goodness for those who are lucky enough who have a job and who are able to say that they're working, but who still are not fine, because we're all just getting by emotionally one way or another through this pandemic, like even in the best of circumstances. And so pandemic fine is my new response that I'm really interested in. I don't know if you've heard this.
I'm not a person who is big into... tell me everything that's great today. It's just not my style. I prefer to kind of look at the bright side if I can, or find a silver lining. And one of the silver linings that has come out of the pandemic has been that people are really getting more verbal about their mental health, being honest about how they're feeling, having new experiences with their mental health, and actually learning how to interact with other people around their own struggles with a little bit more honesty, if we were to be kind of real about that.
Right, we're taking down the facade.
No, that's exactly what I was gonna say. I feel like conversations are much more, it feels less vulnerable to be truthful in how you are in any sort of present state, I found, as opposed to like, everything's good, you know, all good. People are saying, actually, I'm really struggling with my kids on distance learning right now, you know, and it's really hard. And we're just struggling with that as a family, or, you know, we're struggling being just in a house together and within our marriage and just not knowing how to communicate because we've over communicated at this point. Like the conversations that would usually be saved for maybe like the second or third bottle of wine are just like finally being opened up about, you know, in the middle of the day, like just heart open, like, hey, this is what's really going on. Are you finding that this for you as well?
Yeah, I think boundaries have really changed a lot. So we used to have, you know, if you're talking about a family or a marriage or a partner relationship, we used to have breaks from each other more if we're quarantined now or we're staying home a lot. There was a natural time when we would be out of the house and away, or we could get away. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm a mom. I've got a 16-year-old. I would just go to the grocery store and that would be entertainment for me and away from my husband and my son, who I love very much. But, you know, every minute of every day is hard. In fact, I have a story from earlier in the pandemic that really happened to me. And that was one time I went in to take a shower in the bedroom, and I was like, you know, just taking a nice relaxing shower. And my husband like burst in the room and was like, oh my God, this is like the taxes or something. I don't know what he was saying, but I was like completely startled. It kind of ruined that shower experience. And then I was really mad. And after I finished processing being so upset about it, I said, listen, we need real boundaries around showers. Like for me, that's a time where, you know, have you seen Psycho? You know, I mean, like, I just really don't want to be feeling like somebody might burst in and either scream their anxieties at me or just tell me they're upset about something. I said, if nothing's on fire and nobody died, do not interrupt my shower. And so that's how we do it in our household. But I think that we may be a little bit just more conversant in that sort of boundary setting, because that's a lot of what I do in my work. And so I will be able to say we need to set a boundary.
It's so true. And Vanessa, I heard you bring up your work, and yeah, we really want our listeners to understand what it is an occupational therapist does. Yeah. Can you take us through it?
I would love to. Most people are either confused by the name occupational therapy or have had occupational therapy in their life in one way, but not another. So occupational therapy is a very broad profession, and we address physical and mental health problems. We look at people from the whole person aspect of things. And we really try to help people to live a great quality of life and to live their lives to the fullest. And that can look like a lot of different things.
I can definitely see how having that during a global pandemic is a really beneficial way to live. Vanessa, you have a system for helping us assess our daily activities so that we can distinguish behaviors and habits that are beneficial to our well-being from those that are not so beneficial. Can we do this with you? Can we go through this?
Absolutely. So there's a good way to look at whether we're sort of aligning with our values and getting our needs and wants met. And a good way to do that is to look at your day with 24 hours in it. I often recommend making a circle like a pizza pie and then cut it into 24, admittedly small slices, and then to mark out some areas of function that we do each day and that you know are sort of reliable. So those would be in the way of self-care, you know, getting dressed, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, doing things like that. Eating can be a separate category. Preparing food could be a separate category. Child care, things that we have to do that are required in our day. And then things that we want to do that are fairly important to us, but might be less required, but they're significant. So let's see, you know, it might be communicating with friends. We want to do that, but if we had to set it aside, we could. So then we want to just look at each of these different categories. And then the last category being things that we do that take up time in our day that are more leisure oriented. I forgot to throw in the exercise. I really think exercise is one that people spend time on and they don't realize they're spending time on it, or sometimes they want to spend more time on it. So finding the balance between all of these different things can be done by color coding that chart of activities and then looking at how much is spent on each one, just as a quick visual shot. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. I think it's so important to note that, I mean, it's going to differ for each individual. I heard you speak about, you know, if it's an essential worker on their way to work, their pie chart's going to look completely different from a school teacher or really anyone with anyone's life is so different. And I was trying to do this. I heard this activity and trying to slice my life into 24 different little pies. And what I found my problem was that I had different colors on each pie. I'm multitasking. Essentially, I'm doing too much at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing in a load of laundry and I'm also trying to cook. And then I'm also trying to answer emails. And I would love to know, is this part of the problem that we're all home now and there's a mix between work and play and family life? And is this adding to this feeling of being overwhelmed? We're not solely focused on one thing.
Yes, in a word, it really is a very tremendous stress to be at home when you didn't used to be at home, as you know, because I agree with you, we're talking to a lot of different people in the audience. So if we're talking to somebody who's home more, and they have all of those home tasks that are before them, laundry, making a more complete dinner than you might typically do, or making your kids' lunches for tomorrow or what have you. It's very tempting to start doing those things all the time. And I love how you said you had overlaps, because that is a great realization in and of itself. There are so many personal realizations that you can make if you just take a couple of steps back. And I want to also remind the audience and you, Kayla, as well, if you're doing this and feeling any sense of judgment or regret about it, that this is not about judging yourself and finding yourself wrong. It's about looking at your life and seeing, oh, what are the areas where I think I might like to have a change, or what are things that may be causing me some anxiety or some stress that I didn't even realize. So I love that you realize that you're doubling down on tasks. I think that's extremely relatable. And it's not that easy to do without getting stressed.
I think the one element of this, though, that is probably the hardest for anyone to really deal with is like the amount of schedule changes that are really out of our control. Mm-hmm. I mean, all I can speak from really is my own personal experience. So, you know, what I'll say is how you would usually allot your time if you do have kids and they would be in school, and you would be working, or you would have that time for self-care or house management. Mm-hmm. That time now goes to, especially with younger children, you're sitting down and you're helping them with their work and making mm-hmm. sure the Zoom call works and that their work is able to be turned into their teacher. Mm-hmm. Also, if you are a teenager right now, something that you might find would have been really relaxing, like something that I'm finding with our teenagers. I have two teenage stepdaughters and they're both in high school. One is a freshman in high school. Her first mm-hmm. year in high school is throughout this pandemic. And mm-hmm. something that she usually would have done to kind of decompress from the day would be like watch some Netflix on her computer. But she's mm-hmm. just spent all day staring at that screen. And that's become more of a, as opposed to a means of relaxation, a, kind of like a stress inducing activity. And so mm-hmm. it's just kind of like, these are not, no, she didn't want to be taking classes on a computer all day. And parents who don't want to be sitting next to their children, helping them get through the day, they would much rather be doing other activities, but that's what they have to do right now. So how does that play into kind of navigating mental health when there are things that aren't really within your control to be able to say that you want to do? It's because you have to do them right now.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And I am, you know, a technique that I use frequently with people, and I teach it, is acceptance and commitment-based therapy, which is really about how to look at your life and see what can change and what can't change. I mean, so for example, if we talk about your teenager who spent all day on the computer and ordinarily would be, you know, maybe like FaceTiming or whatever with friends after school, like that's what she's done all day. So that's not going to work. How does she get the quality of life that she wants and the quality of social interactions that she wants within the boundaries of the pieces of the puzzle that we can move? I think the thing that people are struggling with, and it's a very valid struggle, is there are a lot of weird puzzle pieces that can't be moved around right now that have just been imposed upon us. We lost a lot of control, and that's hard for people.
Yeah, because even if you say, you know, she's she luckily has the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm going to go take a walk right now. I'm going to go walk the dog. I'm going to get outside. Mm-hmm. So we're really mm-hmm. proud in the way that all of our kids have been handling it, because it's hard and it's not easy on them at all. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, you know, okay, well, I'm going to go spend time with friends. And for us, you know, I was pregnant throughout the whole last year. So as someone more high mm-hmm. risk, it was just all of that had to be taken into consideration, essentially. So mm-hmm. it was really tough. And I think that is a part of like how much is out of our control right now, and yes. feeling like this is it. There's no other options. And how do we deal with it emotionally when there is no other outlet, and you kind of are reliant on going with inside yourself and having to do that mm-hmm. when you're in your 30s is one thing, having to do that when you're a teenager is one thing, having to do that when you're surrounded by family is one thing, having to do that when you're alone is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. Is there like a through line or a byline from clients that you've sat down with through therapy, various therapy sessions, like that you've heard, is there kind of like something that everyone is feeling that is universal, or is everyone's circumstance so different that it's hard to kind of keep up from someone in your position?
I think the universal aspect of things is that we are all being presented with a situation that is completely out of our control, just like I mentioned before, and as you're talking about as well. There are so many things and so many more things than we're used to that are beyond the control that we once had. And so I would say that through line or something that's common for all people is everyone is struggling with having this imposed change upon them very suddenly, and not something that they wanted to have happen. And so people are really being challenged like never before in terms of, what do I do when I'm in a situation that I cannot control, but I have to accept it? And I'll tell you the spoiler alert here is that you have to either be miserable or accept it or work towards acceptance. And acceptance is not approval. Those two things are not the same thing. So if you accept a situation that you don't like, it doesn't mean you're like, yay, I'm so happy this happened. It means that you are saying, I'm going to stop fighting and I'm going to find a way to live my life. And this isn't about necessarily being happy, live my life with some comfort, or to look towards the future, but also stay in today. So yeah, that is a very universal feeling of loss of control for so many people I talk to. And, you know, I listen to this podcast. I love podcasts. I hear it all the time. So it is a big struggle, not uncommon.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the Chocolate Bliss and Caramel Sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
Back. So what is our ultimate goal then in all this? Because I totally understand, like, just accepting the circumstances and understanding that there's only so much we can do. But there is a part of me that always wants to try, and I don't want to necessarily control the situation, but to try to make it better if I can. So Are there any ways that we can actively do that? What is the ideal experience look like? Am I making sense? My question, is that a question making sense?
Absolutely. No, it's a very good question. That one I can't answer for everyone and say what they're, I mean, obviously I don't think we really mean to be like asking what's the ideal situation for every single person. But I think the question about how do we cope when things are not going our way is a universal question. I mean, I don't know if you guys know a lot of people with perfect lives, but I've never met anybody with a perfect life. And so we always are, you know, presented with circumstances that we don't want. And sometimes they're imposed upon us. And, you know, like an illness or a pandemic or, you know, the breakup of a relationship or anything like that, or the loss of a job. So these are skills that we have some, you know, ability to speak to, but we have never been asked as a society to do it so generally, like, oh, you just have to accept this. And the word just just accept is really a, I say it myself, but I would take that out of the equation. I would say work towards acceptance because we will waste a lot of energy fighting the circumstances. Let me give you an example. So if I were to every day wake up and say, God damn it, this freaking pandemic, I can't believe this, is horrible. And then I were to spend an hour and a half of my day just sort of being miserable about it and really thinking about how angry I am about everything. I mean, that's my choice. I could do that. Or I could spend that hour doing things that add value to me or help me feel more stable. So things like taking that walk that your daughter took. Great idea. Doing things that either distract us, sometimes distraction is good, or ground us in this very moment. So those things are like meditation, deep breathing, taking a bath, or doing things that kind of bring us back to right now. So it depends on where you're at in the moment. I do not want to sound like I'm a everything has to be positive and great kind of person. Rather, I'm saying like, this is how it is for us. And the way that we allow things to be how they are is to literally allow them to be how they are and then see how we can function around the corners of that problem. I'm not sure if that's too sort of broadly based, but that's how I would look at it.
As an occupational therapist, what was your focus pre-pandemic? What were you working on most often with your clients?
I always looked with people at their mental health, but prior to the pandemic, and my life has changed a lot with the pandemic, I was working full time in a cancer center. I worked with women with breast cancer and people with other types of cancers. I have an expertise in dealing with swelling conditions. And so that, and I was like the content expert where I worked with that. So I taught other people and I treated patients who had swelling conditions and also just dealing with cancer. And so, and that was a face-to-face interaction, day-to-day, helping people. But I never really was able to separate out the mental health aspect of any sort of treatment because we really are just, our minds and our bodies are connected. So there was always some of that too. But my efforts were more working, you know, immediately before the pandemic and for a number of years working in a cancer center and helping people survive those sort of circumstances.
What did that treatment look like when you would go into the room to sit down with the cancer patient?
Everyone is going through something similar. And when you talk about cancer, people don't want to have cancer. It is an interruption in our lives. It's like a personal pandemic, right? And then some people have been, you know, struck with cancer or are dealing with cancer during the pandemic. And so it always would come up, you know, people would talk about the experience of living with cancer. Sometimes it would just literally be sitting with a patient and listen to them tell me about their experience and cry about it or be sad about it or angry about it. Sometimes holding those emotions with someone would be a lot of the treatment with people. Sometimes it would be very practical. It would be like, I am so tired. I'm 100 times more tired than I usually am because I'm having radiation. So how am I going to live my life? How am I going to get to my job? What am I going to do? What sort of adjustments am I going to make in order to live around this? So I think it's a really interesting and excellent analogy to think about. You know, the pandemic is sort of the experience of having a serious illness in a way, even if you never get COVID or even know anybody who has COVID, it's still the experience of having something thrust upon you in your life that you can't change. And so you can either accept it, or you can grieve it, you can go through various stages. So always the components of the treatment included talking about that grief process of, you know, I have this situation and I didn't want it to be that way. And how am I going to cope with it and deal with it? And then we would do very specific things to help. So if someone has swelling or pain, we would deal with that area. I did some hands-on type treatments for lymphedema. That's the condition I'm talking about. So we would address the physical thing too. And again, really great analogy because just because you're sad about something doesn't mean there's not something physical or something that you can't change in order to make things better. Like if we were to go to the laundry, I'm going to go way back and go to the laundry example where you're doing the laundry and cooking dinner at the same time. There are ways to look at those activities at the same time and say like, oh, is this bringing me more quality for me to be running back and forth between the kitchen and the laundry room to be doing my laundry? Or should I just let the laundry sit for an extra 10 minutes so I can cook dinner and then I'll put it aside later. I know that I hope that wasn't too jumbled up, but it is a lot of similar things that you brought up, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no. And this idea that it, you know, even if you are in a position where you have not had COVID or know anyone who has passed from COVID, you know, this is something globally that has affected everyone. And the reality is, I mean, if you turn on the TV, every other commercial is geared more towards mental health. And, you know, that is something to note. And the fact that suicide rates increase during economic downturns and the social unrest and, you know, the election of last year. And there's been a lot that I think as a society we're holding on to internally that, you know, is we're starting to be seen addressed, you know, in commercials on TV where I think there's like an app for meditation that literally their whole commercial is just silence with like some rain sounds, you know, just like this is what everyone needs right now. Just like here's 30 seconds of rain sounds. And it's always so soothing when it comes on. But so when the pandemic hit, did you see then a shift? I mean, obviously you had to shift towards people calling you. You had to do therapy sessions with clients online. Did you feel like, given your experience having worked in specifically a cancer unit, that you felt like you were ready to take on sitting down with clients to talk them through their experiences with the pandemic while also experiencing it for yourself for the first time?
You know, it was really, really hard. And my personal experience is that, you know, with the pandemic coming on, there were so many changes that had to happen really quickly. I'm the kind of person who is like, they call it an early adapter. Like, I'm the kind of person who's like, oh, there's a change, I'm going to change. And so I could see almost immediately, and we're here in March. It was like March 12th, I was going to be going to a conference, the professional conference. They canceled the conference. And at that time, I was like, oh my goodness, we are really in trouble here. And we started talking very early. So we formed a committee where I was working about doing video visits, and people were really hesitant. The work that I do, I work very closely with physical therapists. So I'm an occupational therapist. Physical therapists and occupational therapists put their hands on people. And so it was really terrifying to have to be like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to touch somebody to help them. I'm not going to be able to put my hands on them. I'm not going to be face to face with them. But as it turns out, and probably partially because I'm like the kind of early adapter type, I was involved in building our telehealth practice where I was working. And I thought it was tremendously effective. I had cancer patients who were like, this is so great. Now I don't have to leave my work to come here early and I can have my treatment. It changed how we delivered therapy. But again, great opportunity for analogy here. You know, there are changes that are going on in the world. And what I read a lot about in the news and everything is a lot of resistance to change. And I mean, if I wanted to give a message to everybody listening, I would say to the best of your ability, look at how change can improve things in your life and how it can improve the things for the people around you. I mean, we brought up the election process. There was tremendous unrest over the summer, but that brought to light, you know, a lot of things about disparities, economic, socioeconomic, racial disparities that have opened up really important conversations. We have such a long way to go as a society, obviously, and so many things to work on. But I think I'm seeing a lot of people resisting. I have a certain amount of resistance and saying, I want things to go back to the way they were. And I think the thing that's certain is, they're not exactly going back the way they were. We're all different now. And so how do we allow ourselves to adjust and change without spending inordinate amounts of time wishing that it was not going to change or wishing it was some way that it's not? That's, you know, it's not a one day process. That takes time, but it's a good place to start to just ask yourself, what am I wishing was not so? And is it possible for me to change it? And if not, how can I stop resisting the change?
Ooh, I love that. Thank you. I'm definitely going to utilize that. You know, I think there is a lot of change happening. We are now a year
just a little bit past a year of the pandemic, and we've all been quarantined for a year, which is an exorbitant amount of time. I know when it first hit, all of us thought, oh, we'll be like this for a month maybe, and then it kept maybe 6 months, but now we're a year in and there is some hope on the horizon, but yet we still know we're going to have to be stuck in this for a little while. I've been reading a lot about the major concern is that there's an increase in mental health problems, right? But they will, that not only will they, are they increased for the current time, but they will persist for years to come because of the economic downturn that our nation, all nations have been facing. What can we do right now to help our future selves? Because we know, like you said, accepting that things will be completely different. Years will never go back. It will never go back to the way it was. So what can we do now to help our future selves be the best they can be and to accept all this?
I think that, you know, I am a big proponent of meditation. And I think that a lot of people shy away from the idea of meditation and mindfulness, but I would really recommend it, and not in the traditional ways that people are turned off by it. So, for example, you know, there's lots of ways that we can meditate and that we actually are meditating or meditative in our own lives. You know, when we're washing the dishes in the evening or whatever, whenever we're doing it, if you just, instead of talking to people or listening to music, or even if there's a lot of noise going on around you, tuning into what's happening in that moment can be really helpful. And spending some time each day trying to do a little bit of mindfulness. There's a simple mindfulness activity that you can do anywhere at any time. And that would be like, name five things that you, five shapes that you can see, name four colors, name three things that you can hear, name two things you can smell, and take one deep breath. That sort of mindfulness done over time, repeated over time, can help you to just learn how to tune into this moment. Because a lot of anxiety is about living in the future or living in the past, but not being stepped into this moment. And so people really experience a lot of pain, you know, from that, you know, from the worrying and the anxiety, what if, what will be, and the uncertainty of the pandemic has just magnified those experiences for everyone. No one likes uncertainty. And so I would say mindfulness is a way to be certain in the moment that you exist and that this experience is happening right now. Yeah, I guess there's no easy answers.
I mean, there isn't, because we're not in an easy situation. There is no easy answer. Mm-mm. And that's really what we're talking about today. I mean, I know for me, I'm constantly just trying to find comfort, to take comfort in the little things, no matter what that is. And Candace and I were talking on the phone this weekend about it. And I was being really honest with her about how, you know, I love to cook for my family. It's something I do. And it's something I feel like I can do so that it finds, I find comfort in it and I'm providing comfort for them. But what I've been struggling with is it's kind of the fun thing to do. So I've been, you know, obviously choosing things that are not so healthy. And it was fun in the beginning, but now it's just become the new norm. And so we're not as healthy as we used to be. And, you know, you mentioned exercise being great. And so I'm trying to figure out that balance and to try and find moderation within that. And a lot, I know a lot of people, I hear about it all the time. People are not being as healthy through quarantine. I know that it's mental, that it's also mental. Is there anything you can do to help me and my family and anyone else that's kind of finding this struggle a year into all of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I may have a really disappointing answer for you, Kayla.
Oh, no.
The answer, here we go. My answer is maybe get off of your own back a little bit about this. It might be okay right now that, you know, you're making cheese fondue or whatever, you know, like you're choosing that. It might be okay. Instead of, we don't change well. We don't change anything well if we're busy beating ourselves up. And so, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but the acceptance piece is pretty huge. What I would say is if you are awake out of bed and doing your work, like we're doing the podcast today, you have done a good job. And I think finding the value in what you're doing, you're cooking for your family, good for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you cannot change. There's another technique that I work with frequently with people. It's called motivational interviewing. And that is finding the way to change that works for you. So the therapist goes from being like the expert person, like where Kayla says to Vanessa, you know, how do I change and start making healthy meals again for my family instead of like all the treats that we like that we find comforting or whatever. And we talk about that for a while, but instead of me being the person who knows the answers, I go into sort of a coaching mode and talk with you about where are the pros and cons of this. And we look at that decision making and we try to figure out, you know, is this a change that is really important to you? Or is there something underlying the need to change this? What is it? What's the feeling about? And then if it is something that you want to change, developing a reasonable goal and plan. And so, you know, without knowing, you know, all of the motivations for folks out there who are just simply saying, now I really want to stop having frozen pizza for dinner 3 nights a week for my family or something like that. And I would prefer to get more, you know, put more vegetables into our diet. You know, keep it simple. Keep it simple. If you want to put more vegetables into your diet, you know, maybe just put some broccoli or celery sticks on the side of the plate if that's what you want to do. But don't be, you know, giving yourself a beating about how you're not doing a good job about something that you're actually, you are doing a good job about. Like you're providing food and comfort to your family. You may just want to make an adjustment and look at the goals of what you're doing, but not from a way of disapproving of yourself, because it doesn't really help you to create a change, if you know what I mean.
I think what's going to be really tough that we don't maybe necessarily anticipate right now is the emotional stress that comes afterwards. You know, like the post-traumatic stress of having been through a pandemic. And my husband and I talk about this a lot, like, okay, we're still in it right now. We see the light at this point. You know, vaccines have been distributed. You know, there a lot of people have had it, and there's a lot more science we know for the people who maybe have not had extreme cases with antibodies that keep them safe for a few amount of months, you know, post. I mean, you're able to get tested much more easily. The accessibility is there. Still a lot we don't know, but there's a lot more we do know a year later. My question is for, you know, a year from now in like 2022, and then a year from then in like 2023, like looking back and realizing how stressful being in a pandemic was, realizing how many lives were lost, and also mourning the things that we weren't able to experience with our loved ones, you know, whether it's weddings or relationships that have dissolved because the stress of the pandemic was too much within a marriage or a relationship or between family members. You know, people who were unable to attend funerals of family members, you know, high school seniors who never had a prom, which sounds so frivolous on one hand, but that, you know, you think back to your own youth. Every high school movie is about prom or or like that's it, you know, that whole experience. And so it's mourning the things that were lost, whether it was time, loved ones, yourself, and how we navigate that period. Like that's what I'm starting to think about right now, that I see the light a year later. I mean, is there anything that you have to say to that? Or do you think about that? Does that come up in your work right now?
Yeah, I think that people are beginning to look at what things will look like when we can, like, you know, go out of our houses more, when we can, you know, be just, you know, be more, you know, I hate to say the word normal, but we can, you know, get a sense of normalcy again, without all of this extremely frightening, you know, death tolls and people being sick and ICUs being filled and everything like that. And you're right, we are moving in the right direction. And I would say that, you know, grief is a process. And I think that a lot of the mental health issues that we're seeing right now are about grief. You know, grief has, there are ways of looking at grief as a cycle, you know, and it includes anger, depression, sadness, bargaining, the one I can't think of the word where you pretend it's not happening, denial. I can't even remember the word denial. So, you know, the grief process will be, I think we're in it already. And as we get back into our lives, I think a good piece of advice to follow would be to be aware of the fact that when things start to, let's say, speed up, or we're doing more things outside of our houses, or we can really safely go and, I don't know, have a dinner party or send our kids like to a more, you know, unknown friend's house or something like that, that might cause anxiety and, or what have you, or send our kids back to school full time, that we will inevitably be grieving. And that instead of expecting ourselves to be like super happy and think everything's great now that everyone's allowed to do indoor dining again, or whatever it is that they've been really missing. My family misses going, you know, places like there's, you know, this lovely place called the Desert Botanical Garden. We haven't been there in a year in Arizona. And so instead of thinking, wow, this is going to be so awesome, just to kind of put your toe in the water and say, you know, it's okay if this feels really weird or anxiety provoking. In fact, a lot of folks are expressing concerns about having to go back to their lives. That's what I'm hearing a lot of, a fair amount of anxiety about, like, I don't know how to re-engage in my life. And I would say that staying focused in the now is really a good idea, but also understanding that it just may not be that easy to pick up where you left off. And it's okay that it's not easy. Just try to take the baby steps. Think about how you would break it down for a small child. Like, what would you expect them to do when it's their first day of school? But for us, it's like getting back into the world.
That's such great advice. Thank you. I'm writing down what you're saying as you're saying it so that I can take it and put it into my life. You know, I think it's important to discuss how you do these telehealth sessions and consultations, mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. During the pandemic, that is, we talk about pivoting all the time in our careers. And it seems like since the pandemic, you've had to truly adapt and pivot into something mm-hmm. new, and you're doing telehealth consultations. And What has that been like? And has there been a common struggle with people? And also, I want to make sure our listeners know that it's something that you can, that their initial telehealth consultation is free, correct?
Yes. First of all, so I practice in Arizona, and actually I'm getting licensed in Connecticut too, because I've been doing some work in Connecticut. It's, you know, one of these things with the pandemic is like things get very, you know, like far flown, because we can do telehealth across state lines. I'm always interested in, you know, getting licensed in other states if I find that I have a big call for folks who need me somewhere else. But yes, I do a free consultation through my website, and I do that via video. And on those initial consultations, we talk about what sort of things occupational therapy could help a person with, because I find that, you know, of all the mental health interventions, occupational therapy is not a thing that people think of when they say, like, gee, I need a therapist. What am I going to do to help myself? Let me see if I can find an occupational therapist. People don't say that. They say, I want a counselor or what have you. So an occupational therapist, what I do in a telehealth consultation is we talk about, even an initial consultation, what's going on in your life? What are the things that you're feeling, you know, uncomfortable about, and what sort of things are things that you're wanting to change, or what are the areas that are difficult for you right now? And then we can develop a plan that includes like really practical things that you can do to help yourself. That's where that motivational interviewing comes from. I would say 9 times out of 10, people are saying to me, I want to exercise, I want to eat better. I always hear that. So that's a real constant. But I also hear, I want to feel less anxious, I want to have fewer panic attacks. So, you know, it runs the gamut for people. people. And, you know, occupational therapy certainly can work with somebody seeing a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist, but it can also be a standalone therapy if a person needs to be kind of coached through these very, very difficult pandemic type challenges. And it works well on video because, again, it doesn't involve me putting my hands on you. It involves us talking about what are you going to do for the next hours between this session and the next time I talk to you. So a lot of coaching, listening and supporting, and then helping people get to the lifestyle that they want.
And what do you say to any of our listeners right now who've never been in therapy and who are thinking, oh, you know, maybe, I don't know, I feel like that would be weird, or I'm scared, or I'm hesitant. And also, or those who are worried about the financial cost of therapy. Do you have advice for anyone listening right now?
Yes, that is a terrific question. I have run into patients over and over again who say, I'm not sure if I can afford this, when I have been in like the free consultation with them. And I say, well, I have a sliding fee scale. And people say they don't know what that is. So for anyone who doesn't know what a sliding fee scale is, it is when the therapist charges X amount of money. If you can't afford that amount of money, the therapist can look at your finances with you, not deeply, you know, it's not like a deep dive there, and find out what you can afford to pay for therapy. For me right now, I am trying to work with anybody who needs therapy, to help them to be able to afford the help, because that's my sort of moral, ethical obligation from my point of view as a therapist. Plus I have, a fairly new practice. And so I have the ability to take on more people. And I do love to help people. So the sliding scale question is a very good question. For somebody who's looking for therapy, there are various therapist directories. Like, I'm listed on psychologytoday.com, but there are others as well. And my experience is certainly, if somebody contacts me, the consultation is free to begin with. It's 20, 25 minutes of talking. And that's an opportunity to see somebody face to face on a computer screen and just talk a little bit. And if that person doesn't feel like comfortable, or what they say doesn't sound comfortable, or what you're looking for, you just get to say, okay, you can close the video and say goodbye and never talk to them again and have no obligation. I think that's a great way to try out therapy. I hear that. I love that you ask that, because I hear it all the time. I'm scared to contact somebody. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. The therapist's job is to help you to know what to do. All you have to do is click on the video, and then the therapist should be able to help you. And if you are unable to be helped by that person, then you say, okay, let me try somebody else. So I recommend the free consultation for sure for people. And take your mental health seriously, because, our mental and our physical health are very, very closely linked together. More stomach aches, headaches, shoulder pain, knee pain, things like that. All sorts of things are coming up and being more significant nowadays because people are really stressed. And when our minds are stressed, our bodies are stressed too.
Vanessa Gralkin, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all your wisdom and helping us continue to stay sane through this very hard and trying time.
My pleasure. It's so good to talk to you guys today. I hope it was helpful.
Where can our listeners find you on social media, or if they want to reach out to you to potentially work with you?
Well, on Instagram and TikTok, I'm even on TikTok. it's Vanessa Gralkin OT. That's my handle. So that's VanessaGralkinOT. And my website is my name. So it's just VanessaGralkin.com, VanessaGralkin.
I think the biggest takeaway is to remember that this past year has been very difficult for everyone, no matter where you fall within the scale. But we all have to make sure that we find a way to get help, and we have to talk about it. We can't just hold it all in. And it's, I think, a good thing to hear that so many people are reaching out finally to get help and have a place to work on their mental health. And that is more socially acceptable, not only socially right. acceptable, but socially encouraged. And because of a sliding scale, therapy can even be more affordable than you'd think it would be.
Right. It's so true. And that's such a positive that has come out of such a dark experience. I just, what she said, that be aware when things go back to normal, that they're still not normal. And that is such good advice. And I know you mentioned that too, Candace, that you and Joe had been talking about that. And I'm realizing that's something we have yet to discuss or realize in our household, is that when things, quote unquote, go back to normal, it still won't be normal because there is so much PTSD that will come from having experienced what we all experienced on different levels, and to not have expectations of what life will be like.
And just if you're listening to this and you do feel the need to reach out for help, there's also wonderful support groups. You know, we've had other specialty episodes where we've referenced free support groups and websites that you can visit more specific to addiction or eating disorders. But definitely want to just reference, you know, different groups like the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is National Eating Disorders Association, which we've discussed before. Of course, Alcoholics Anonymous. There is a Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. There's tons of free resources at your fingertips if you just go online. There's so many online therapy services and government-funded community-based healthcare centers that can provide you with the care and the help that you need. So it's so important to remember that those resources are out there and available.
And that you're not alone, that we're all in this together and we're all feeling it. And each day will be different. Each hour will be different. And it's okay. We hope you guys enjoyed our episode of Directionally Challenged. We have another great one coming next week. We'll see you then. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.